The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Right now, though, we'll turn our attention to India and the aftermath of this awful Air India crash. Over 200 people confirmed dead, but remarkably, somebody has survived. Confirmation in the last little while that a UK national has survived that plane crash. Rahul Bedi is with me. He's an Irish Times journalist based in New Delhi in India. Rahul, you're very welcome and it's good to talk to you. What can you tell us about the latest on this crash?
Well, the latest, as you mentioned, there has been one survivor out of 242 people. And he just seemed, he was interviewed on several television news channels. And he said that within a few seconds of takeoff, he heard a loud bang and there was complete confusion. And then the plane crashed and he just walked out of the emergency door. And he was the only one of 242 people who survived. Speculation is on. Experts are speculating that most experts concur that there was obviously an engine failure because the plane crashed within about 36 seconds of takeoff. It had hit a height of about 350 feet or 350 meters before it crashed. And obviously, both the engines of the aircraft failed and the pilot this is speculation. He may have tried to land somewhere safe, but he couldn't because he was on the edge of the airfield, and there were a lot of buildings there. So he landed in on top of a medical student's hostel, and they fear that about maybe 20 or 30 people could have been either injured or dead.
I know and I appreciate that we're still dealing with the immediate aftermath of all of this, and I'm looking at the live images on my screen here as well from Ahmedabad as emergency services continue to sift through wreckage and everything. What's been the official reaction there from the airline, from Air India and from the political establishment, Rahul?
Well, the political establishment, Mr. Modi comes from Ahmedabad, where the crash happens. It's in the western Indian state of Gujarat. So he has dispatched his home minister, who's also a very powerful man, and he's also the member of parliament from Ahmedabad. So the official reaction has so far been concentrating mainly on the rescue. But the owners of the airline, Tatas, they've announced a remuneration package of the next of kin of those who have died of about roughly the equivalent of about $100,000 each. Nobody has as yet given out any official figure, and nobody's really held a press conference, and nobody really knows how many people died on the ground. So I suspect that nothing will happen tonight. And it'll only be tomorrow when certain official confirmations come in.
I assume there was a period of time during which that particular airport was closed. Was there a knock-on impact on other airports as well in the country? Were other areas closed down? And what's happening on that front? Are things back up and running now?
No, surprisingly not. The airport was closed for a few hours. But the accident happened roughly around 1 o'clock local time. But by about 4 or 5 o'clock, the airport was functioning as normal and flights were landing. And so it's business as usual. But just now I saw on the television that the fires were still burning. The wreckage of the plane is there. And the access to the black box or the flight data recorder and the cockpit data recorder is seemingly easy because a tail section of the aircraft is lying on top of this the hostel where it actually landed. So it's quite possible that tomorrow they'll recover the black box and proceed with the investigation.
Right, well, listen, thank you very much for catching us up on the latest there. Rahul Bedi is an Irish Times journalist. He's based in New Delhi in India. Sean Bell, the former fighter pilot, is with us as well. And Sean, like most people, you'll have seen a lot of the images, and as I say, I'm looking at them still here on my screen, of the plane taking off, hitting the ground, the explosion, but also the debris. And Rahul mentioned the tail of the plane quite visible from the street as well. What's your sense of what might have happened?
Yeah, good afternoon, Kieran. I mean, first of all, you know, as a pilot, my sympathies go out to, I mean, there's so many families involved, not only those who are on the aircraft, but also it sounds like a lot of people were hit on the ground, 242 on board, two pilots, 10 crew, 53 Brits. And it does sound as if one person has survived. I think what we know is that on the radar trace, the aircraft got to about 625 feet. Why is that important? Because normally when you are flown in an airline, leaving an airport, it climbs quite steeply away, doesn't it? Because of sound. When you look at the video, it hasn't done that at all. There's a puff of smoke as it leaves the ground. The crash happened only 2 kilometres away from the runway itself. This aircraft would have been absolutely full of fuel. The weather was clear, 6K vis, light winds. So it was at its most vulnerable when it got airborne. And the videos I've seen, and certainly the soundtrack I've seen, you can't hear the normally high-pitched sound of engines at full power. And these aircraft, the Dreamliner, is very happy flying on a single engine, even when it's just taken off. So it does look as if something a bit more serious has happened.
Yeah, I would have imagined, and you'd have to excuse my naivety in all of this, that engines would essentially operate as isolated systems so that one can become dysfunctional without it impacting the other. I mean, how common is it that both would switch off, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point you pose, I mean, is fascinating. I mean, there are so many things like quadruple backups on these airliners. Mm. This Dreamliner, it was only introduced into service, I think, 14 years ago. It's the best-selling wide-body jet of all time. There's over 1,100 of these things in the fleet, 5 million flights, 30 million hours of flying. And it was only 6 weeks ago they celebrated carrying their 1 billionth passenger. And it's worth remembering, this is the first fatal crash in all that time, the first time they've lost an aircraft. So the technology generally works well. Now, it doesn't mean it didn't go wrong this time, but the question you pose, I think, is exactly what the air accident investigation team are going to be looking at. They'll be looking at the two black boxes. There's not just one in their aircraft to create some redundancy. And what they'll be doing is looking if the engines fail. Why would both of them do that? And one of the reasons, if an aircraft goes into a thick flock of birds, for example, if both the engines gulp in some birds, they can do damage because inevitably at full power, these engines are operating right at the top end of power. That is when they're at their most vulnerable, and you do sometimes get a lot of birds. But I'm speculating here. That's exactly what the air accident investigation teams will review.
I mentioned the explosion, and I saw it as well earlier. And when I heard that somebody had walked away from the crash, I thought, that's not true. That's going to be kind of debunked, that story, within the next few minutes. It is remarkable when you see some of the images that not only has he walked away from the crash, he's given interviews.
Yeah, I have to say, just like you, when I heard this, I thought, OK, is this really true?
Yeah, I thought some lad had kind of wandered out of a local pub or something and was just exploiting the situation. Yeah, I'm not trying to be glib. I genuinely thought this is what's going to happen here.
I agree. But I do think one of the things that just imagine now, we don't know what happened, but what looks likely is this aircraft lost power. It looks like the aircraft was gliding and the pilot is still able to fly it. And if you look at the last few seconds, he clearly tries to pull the nose up. In other words, to soften the landing. Just imagine you're in the cockpit now of that aircraft. You know that you're facing certain death. You know that you're crammed full of fuel. You know there's going to be a disaster. But he was still probably doing everything possible to minimize the risks to people. And I have very rarely heard anybody survive these sorts of accidents. You're talking about 200 miles an hour, a big bit of aircraft, crammed full of aviation fuel, smashing into the ground. And yet, it does look like somebody survived. And it's a horrible day for so many families. But my goodness, if those efforts, it does look like they've managed to create the situation where at least one person was able to walk away. I hope more are able to survive this accident.
Yeah, we've acknowledged it, and Raoul mentioned it as well, kind of searching still going on in the area because it did hit a building and seemed to land across the top of a number of buildings. And hopefully survivors will be pulled from some of those wreckages as well. We'll have to wait and see. You mentioned, this is the first fatal crash involving a Dreamliner. Unfortunately for Boeing, it's not the first fatal crash they've had to deal with in recent years. And it'll put a focus back on them, right or wrong, won't it?
It will do, yes. But I think one of the things that's fascinating is that we had a rail crash in this country back 20 years ago, and about 8 or 9 people died, loads of people injured, and it fundamentally changed rail safety. Yet, on the roads of our country, we lose that many people each day. Flying remains the safest way of travelling. It is an incredibly safe way of travelling, and I gave you the statistics earlier. Understandably, Boeing is a business. It's got to churn out aircraft and make a profit out of those aircraft, but there's no suggestion at the moment. The Dreamliner is one of the safest aircraft in the skies at the moment. It remains to be seen. I mean, let's face it, the Indian Air Accident Investigation Board, the United States NTSC, and our own Air Accident Investigation Boards will all be sifting through not only the black boxes, but the air traffic control tapes, the radar tapes, the crew. They'll check they've done the right simulators, the training, also the videos, and they will work out exactly what had happened on this fateful day. And I suspect the airlines will be massively supportive in assisting them on that, not only to find out what happened, but to make sure it never happens again.
And Sean, can I ask just a final question? In terms of the training that pilots undergo, you touched on something there. You mentioned the situation the pilots today would have found themselves in the cockpit, facing effectively certain death themselves. Is that something that's acknowledged in the training? That, you know what I mean, you've got to be prepared for this situation, and if it happens, if there's a catastrophic engine failure in a situation like this in takeoff, your job is no longer to save your life. It's maybe to lessen the impact of the crash on those in the local area or even those on board.
Well, I've got a lot of my colleagues. I used to fly fast jets. A lot of them went into the airline world afterwards. And to be blunt, most of the training is how to deal with emergencies because, frankly, the aircraft can fly themselves. But very few aircraft, thankfully, crash in this way. Mm. What I would say is that the training of most professionals, and certainly in the aircrew wise, I was unfortunate enough to fly in a jet that caught fire and I had to eject out of it. As I was coming down towards the ground, the overwhelming sense was, what have I done wrong? What do I have to do to make sure I get ourselves out of this? And how do I minimize the fact that this is going to cause any damage on the ground? It wasn't heroic. It wasn't bravery. It was simply training. And those aircrew will have been doing everything possible at that time to try to minimize the damage, try to put the aircraft down somewhere where it would minimize the damage there. I very much doubt, I would have expected nobody to have survived. The very fact somebody has, I think, is a huge testament to whatever the aircrew were doing, because they would have known that they weren't going to survive that crash. But whatever they've done, they've created a situation where at least one person has survived.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable that that has happened. Sean, thanks a million for joining us. Sean Bell, the former fighter pilot, search is ongoing there in the area where the plane did come down, and the search will resume for those two black boxes, as Sean said. If there's any updates on either front, we'll bring it to you here on The Hard Shoulder between now and 7 o'clock.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.